CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy under severe sanctions since the start of the attack on Ukraine. What can we see? I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide on watching Russian economy collapse internally. The best indicator I have in these last days reminds me early what Michael told me, that the sanctions make it impossible for Russia to get parts, especially high-end technology parts, for the apparatus that runs a modern state. Here is a report that tells everything you need to know about the Russian implosion. Russia has started stripping jetliners of spare parts they can no longer obtain from overseas due to Western sanctions. This is Reuters reporting. Sanctions imposed by Western countries after Russia invaded Ukraine have cut many of Russia's businesses' links to the countries it previously traded with. Michael, this is an airline business that is no longer trustworthy. Would I take a plane that has to strip parts from other aircraft? No, I wouldn't. But I believe it is only a hint of what's going on. What is it that makes the Russian Central Bank want to boast about their current account surplus, knowing they can't spend the money on imports? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And the current account surplus means simply that exports are still huge because of high oil and natural gas prices, and imports are shut down. Imports from the United States, from the most advanced countries, where they buy technology, where they buy spare parts, where they buy inputs. The European Central Bank just reported that Russian imports from the United States in this year fell by 85%, from the UK by 85%, from the euro area by 45%, and remarkably, even from China by 23%. They are buying technology and inputs from China, and China is not selling. So if you look at the airplane industry, you will see that in addition to passenger planes, the greatest trouble is in the cargo planes. So they have to ship things by rail, which is very expensive. Their largest cargo plane company has just closed down, and they're laying off workers. One simple example for the passenger planes, there is a company which owns 41 planes. So they took down 16 planes, took them apart to use spare parts for the remaining 25 planes.
The Bloomberg reports, this is the week and the week of August 5th, 34 tankers loaded with 24.2 million barrels from the country's export terminals. Vessel tracking data and port agent reports show that a diminution from the Black Sea, a diminution from the Baltic, but a rise in shipping from the eastern oil terminals, the highest since mid-April. This tracks exactly with what you've identified. The Russians are selling their oil to Asia, to India, maybe India's reselling, and to China. Are they still giving us a deep discount? Is that how the oil flows?
According to the European Central Bank, which collected the data from various countries, the discount is about $40 per barrel. And so they're giving discounts to all these Asian countries. But the shipment from the Asian part is not very, very big, from Sakhalin Island and from the port of Vladivostok and the Far East. But they have trouble shipping from the Baltic Sea because it is a shallow sea. They have to use tankers which are small, and then they have to reload it somewhere in Europe, which makes it very expensive, and go around the world to India and to China.
The coal industry, you have great experience with this, and you tell me that there is a decision made about coal imports from Russia. What's happened?
Yes. I love coal miners. These are serious people. And now all coal export from Russia to Europe, to the European Union and all other European countries has stopped. The embargo started. They lose some money. They lose about $8 billion a year. But the problem is domestic, because they have to shut down production in several concentrated coal mining areas. Coal mining is in several critical regions, like in this country, like in Appalachia, West Virginia, other places. And those are in Siberia, Those are very, very politically active workers. They will be laid off. Those are exactly the people who started strikes in 1989, which contributed to the taking down the Soviet Union. Those people were on strike in the 90s, where wages were not paid. So this is the biggest political and economic trouble for the Russian government.
Also, Michael, when we come to the Russian economy as it's struggling, there are promises that Europe will collapse to Russian demands as we get closer to the cold months. This is especially true in Germany, where right now the report is they have no alternative source to the turndown on Nord Stream 1. You have different information about what could happen when Europe starts to get cold. Explain, please.
Okay, let's look at the dates. It's a thrilling story. It will go into the history textbooks. So in mid-July, President Biden visited Saudi Arabia to encourage them to increase oil production. And every newspaper in the world said it was a big failure and ridiculed President Biden. And by the way, I admire him. I didn't vote for him, but what he did now is remarkable. So fast forward to 2-3 weeks later, on August the 4th, the Saudi Arabia and the Emirates announced that actually they have a huge spare capacity. And if the Europeans need it by the end of the year, they can increase production by as much as up to 2.7 million barrels a day. 2.7 million barrels a day. It's huge. So if you compare it, let's say, with Russian pipeline supplies to Europe, Russian pipeline supplies to Europe is 2.2 million barrels per day. 1.4 is seaborne, marine supply. So it is 3.7, of which 2.7 million barrels per day the Saudis and the Emirates can substitute. And it's a very quiet announcement. They just waited after President Biden left, after everyone spoke that it was a failure, and they will support the Europeans, and the Europeans will have sufficient substitution when the Russian oil embargo starts in December.
The Russian oil embargo's date is December 5th, as I recall.
December 5th, the embargo starts, and after December the 31st, the New Year Eve, there will be zero seaborne oil for Europe, and there will be only two countries, Slovakia and Hungary, which will receive it by pipelines, exemption from them.
And that is a patchwork to get through the winter, I understand this, and Russia must see this now. So what they're doing is running as the embargo approaches. Do they have a workaround yet, to your knowledge, Michael?
Oh, it's a big trouble for them because they cannot substitute sufficiently to China, because the pipeline to China, the capacity which will be available eventually is only a total Asian is 4 million barrels per day. So they cannot substitute it, what they lose. And the problem is that oil is very particular. If they shut down an oil well, that's it. They have to conserve it. And next time they will have to drill another well. Well, these wells will be dead.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution helping me watch the Russian economy struggle to deal with the sanctions right now. But what we're looking at here is a collapse of the high technology that sustains a modern state. Michael has said over many weeks that what we're looking at is a blow that will take decades to recover from. This is not something you can turn the sanctions off and suddenly everything will be better by the spring of 23. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.